And many years ago, I did something that hurt one of my family members a whole lot. This person grew angry at me. He thought it was only fair to get even. Although I apologized, yet he refused to forgive me. And before long, that anger within turned into grudges and bitterness. And he sought to take revenge by hurting me. It's difficult to be in the midst of a broken relationship. We thank God that He forgives us, although we might mess up. My sermon series on family life, I've been preaching on the life of Jacob. Through his cunning and slimy ways, he tricked his brother of his birthright and blessings. And I'm sure Esau probably was fuming with anger. Is there someone significant to you that you might be angry at? Do you hold grudges against them? Anger, when it's not monitored properly, will turn into bitterness. When we allow bitterness to settle in, we see some negative consequences. I'd like for us to take a look at what happened to Esau. How did he respond toward his brother? Let's take a look in verse 41. It said Esau held a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing his father had given him. And he said to himself, "The days of mourning for my father are near. Didn't I well kill my brother Jacob?" Now Esau was mad. And the more he thought, the more he got upset. He felt he was deceived. And before long, that anger turned into grudges, and then it turned into bitterness. All kinds of evil thoughts came through his mind. Started brooding inside. Next thing you know, he sought to seek revenge. Esau was so ticked off at his brother that he wanted to kill him. Have you ever felt that way? Maybe not wanted to kill somebody, but you're so upset and so ticked off, you come, get back that person. I must admit there has been a few times where I allowed my anger to take hold of me. Instead of having good self-control, I kind of lost it and stormed back at the person that tried to hurt me. My carnal, deprived side raised its ugly head. I recalled when it was time for me to renew my Telephone contract that the representative promised me many wonderful things. I was very happy about that until he negated his promise. Oh man, the dark side came in. I remember blasting that representative. And it felt pretty good at the time. I felt like, you know, he deserved it. It's only fair. It wasn't a little later on, I realized that, you know, it wasn't the right thing to do. I had to call back, apologize. You know, our natural response when we get hurt or be mistreated is to get mad and to get back even with that person. But if we were to leave justice in God's hand, He promised to take care of it and defend for us. Take a look at Romans chapter 12, verse 17, 19. Just do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends upon Him, upon you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friend, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, saith the Lord. Esau just lost control of his anger. Although it's been brooding inside, he didn't maybe deal with it in a proper manner. When grudges are unchecked, grows into evil actions. Esau wanted to take revenge because his brother stole his blessings. Esau thought that his father was about to pass away soon. And it was then that he's going to kill his brother. You might say, well, how did this whole mess got to this point? It's easy to put the blame upon Esau or Jacob. But I really think there's much more to that. If you, Isaac and Rebekah, must take on responsibility as to what has happened. Matter of fact, I believe even to a bigger part as to what has happened. You see, God prophesied upon the birth of the twins, what will happen to both of them? God said that the younger will serve the older. And yet we see that Isaac failed to instruct his children concerning what is very important prophecy from God. And even after Jacob deceived Esau of his birthright, we see in Scripture that there was silence. Apparently that the father didn't do anything about it. Isaac failed to correct his son. You know, all these devious acts could have been prevented with proper teaching from the parents. Now let us take a look at how the parents responded to this plot that Esau has been thinking about. In verses 42 to 45, we see what is going on. Apparently Esau was telling others about his plan, and this word got back to his mother Rebekah about this hideous plan And he quickly immediately went to warn his son Jacob of Esau's murderous desire. And Rebecca started thinking about, well, how can I solve this problem? And he came up with a plan. He commanded his son Jacob, you need to leave and go to be with my brother, your uncle, Laban. And when your brother kind of cool off, when he sort of forgot exactly what has happened, I'll send words for you to come back. We see that Rebecca throughout the past couple chapters that she is a woman that loves to take action into her own hands. However, we see time and time again, this time as well as the previous situation, that she did not count the cost. Earlier, she told Jacob that she was going to take full responsibility if, as they went about deceiving Isaac. And we see this in Genesis chapter 27, verse 12 and 13. What if my father touched me? I would appear to be tricking him and would bring down a curse on myself rather than a blessing. And his mother said to him, my son, let the curse fall on me. Just do what I say. Go and get them for me. See, Rebecca said, hey, don't worry about it. I'll take the responsibility without really realizing the dreadful consequences of the sin that she commits. And again, under this second circumstance, he thought, well, I'll just send my son Jacob away without realizing, again, there were dreadful consequences. She thought that he would just be gone for a short period of time. But in reality, he was gone for the next 20 years. In a matter of fact, as we look at Scripture, Rebecca never saw Jacob again. Rebecca reaped some heavy judgment for her devious act. There are dreadful consequences on devious acts. We think we can get away with it. But I assure you, it will not. May we think twice before lying to our parents. May we think twice before tricking our coworker or our classmate. May we think twice before cheating the government. May we think twice before we deceive our children. It can cause drastic consequences. And we count the cost as we make decisions each day. Well, Rebecca then had to figure out a way to get her husband Isaac to buy into this plan without letting him know that Isaac really wants to kill Jacob. And that she was really only protecting Jacob. And she came up with a very good reason. And we see this in verse 46. She works around Isaac. Yeah, she's very manipulative. Notice what it says here in verse 46. Then Rebekah said to Isaac, I'm disgusted with living because of these Hittite women. Jacob takes a wife from among the women of this land. From Hittite women like these, my life will not be worth living. And you might say, well, who are these Hittite women? What is she talking about? Well, he was referring to Esau's two wives. And we can see this in Genesis chapter 26, 34 and 35. We see that it was when Esau was 40 years old, he'd married two Hittite women. Not one, but two Hittites. And this became a source of grief to Isaac and Rebekah. They were not pleased whatsoever what their son did there. Again, we see scripture silent as to whether Esau taught, whether Isaac taught Esau about who to marry or not to marry. He failed to instruct his children, as well as he failed to discipline his children. As we look at scripture in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, clearly, God makes it clear that we as parents are to discipline and instruct our children. Well, Rebekah concocted this excuse to persuade Isaac to send Jacob to Laban so that he can find the right bride. Not like his other son, the bad one, Esau, who married two Hittite women. And you know that the Hittites lived in the land of Canaan, and they didn't really follow the God of Abraham. Rebekah, again, we see here, she was being deceitful for Isaac. Once she started lying, we see that she keeps lying. She manipulates things over and over again. She had alternative motives. Her primary purpose was not to get Jacob a wife, but to get Jacob away from Esau. Well, Isaac understood what Rebekah was asking him to do. So Isaac calls Jacob aside to give him some instruction about marriage. What's really interesting is when all of this takes place. If we were to go back and look at Isaac's life, it was when Isaac was 40 years old that Abraham took his servant aside, and probably Isaac there too, to instruct him, hey, don't take a wife from the Canaanites. Instead, take a wife from your homeland. We see that Abraham understood the importance of finding a spouse that has the same spiritual value as he does. Again, it's interesting, it was when Esau was 40 years old, as I mentioned earlier, was then that he married two Hittite women. And may we not wait until it is too late before teaching our children important biblical principles. Teach them about the value of having Christian spouse. Teach them not to seek revenge, but to leave it up to the Lord. Teach them to love God by serving others. Teach them the value of sharing generously with all that God has blessed us with. Teach them to give others the benefit of the doubt, and teach them to forgive others. It appears that Isaac has been passive and have not taught Jacob about marriage before. It was not until Rebekah brought this issue up that Isaac took action. We as fathers particularly need to take the initiative to teach our children important lessons about life. We see this being demonstrated in the life of Abraham, but not here with Isaac. Well, let us see. What did Isaac teach Jacob about marriage? And we see this in Genesis 28, 1 and 2. It says, "So Isaac called for Jacob and blessed him and commanded him, 'Do not marry a Canaanite woman. Go at once to Padan Aram, to the house of your mother's father, Bethuel. Take a wife for yourself there, and from among the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother.'" We see that Isaac makes it very clear that it was not acceptable to marry a Canaanite woman. He went on to bless Jacob and instructed him to marry one of the daughters of his uncle, Laban. And we see later on in this passage that Jacob obeyed his father, packed up his bags, and he left. On the wings, however, while this was going on, apparently Esau was sort of eavesdropping on the conversation that Isaac had with his son Jacob. And we see this in verses 6 to 8. And it says, "Now Esau learned that Isaac had blessed Jacob and had sent him to Padan Aram to make a wife, to take a wife from there. And that when he blessed him, he commanded him, 'Do not marry a Canaanite woman.' And that Jacob had obeyed his father and mother and had gone to Padan Aram. Esau then didn't realize how displeasing the Canaanite woman were to his father Isaac." We see here, it appears all of a sudden Esau realized how displeasing Canaanite woman were to his father Isaac. It was, seems to be like a new discovery. It appeared that he's never heard this before. Esau really wanted to please his father and wanted some blessing. He recognized that he saw that Jacob got some more blessings from his father here. He says, "Hey, you know, it's somehow associated with who he will marry." We see, as Isaac was teaching his son, the importance of having same spiritual foundation when we talk about finding a spouse. And we see the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, just do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? And sometimes, maybe some of us feel like the clock is ticking on us and we're still single and we feel like we got to get married. We got to find someone. And nobody has asked me out for the last 3 years. And we feel a little desperate and we got to find someone. And become maybe open to marrying someone that does not have the same faith as ourselves. See, the ways of God always clash with the ways of this world. And if there is not the same spiritual foundation, then sure there's going to be problems down the road. Now that does not mean that just because we find a believer to marry, that life is going to be wonderful. What will assure a great marriage is if we embrace God's word and be obedient to that which God has written concerning about marriage and our role as husband and wife within the marriage context in a biblical way. Well, we see here Esau finally understood the importance of not marrying a Canaanite. But we see that, he has two Canaanite wives. And he recognized, well, this might be a hindrance for him to really get blessings. So he said, well, I have an idea. I'll get married to a non-Canaanite woman. And surely, my father will bless me, just as he blessed my brother Jacob. Well, it seems to be logical that might be true. Esau went to marry Ishmael's daughter. And we see this in the verse in chapter 28, verse 9. Although the Ishmael came from the line of Abraham, we know that Ishmael was separated from the house of Abraham by the Lord. Esau somehow did not know this because his parents probably didn't teach him about this. We see today's story of a very dysfunctional family where the parents did not teach nor did they discipline their rebellious children. And as a result, they did not have a good spiritual understanding of God's way. Instead of enjoying God's blessing within the family, they experienced dreadful consequences. And my challenge to you, particularly as parents this morning, is that we need to be proactive in instructing, in disciplining, in nurturing our children. Good instruction, however, must also be followed by good modeling. Unfortunately, as we've seen through Isaac and Rebecca, they didn't teach very well, and definitely they had very poor modeling skills. As we've seen, favoritism, deceitfulness, and responsibilities. And to a certain degree, we see the two sons catching on to these bad role models. May we be proactive in teaching our children. May we also learn to count the cost. As we are obedient to God's word, we will yield blessing. And if we choose to be disobedient to God's word, we will yield dreadful consequences. Let's bow for prayer.